The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, March the 6th. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with Emmett Hahn, the president of the American Sprint Car Series. The Bloomington Speedway in Bloomington, Indiana has new promoters. We'll talk with Dan Roberts from the Bloomington Speedway Partners and Nick Foss. The opening night winner of the USAC CRA Sprint Car event at the Paris Auto Speedway will stop by and talk about that opening night win. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. By Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. And Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA. The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Good to bring in our good friend, Mr. Emmett Hahn from the American Sprint Car Series and co-founder of the Chili Bowl. Emmett, always a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, it's my pleasure. How are you doing today, Sean?
Emmett, I'm doing great. Last time you and I were together, we were chatting at the Lucas Oil Speedway, and I had just rolled in after getting a ticket in Kansas and then got another one that day. And you had said to me, you said, boy, did you get another ticket today? I said, yes, sir. And you said, son, what do you have? I'm a Yankee sticker in the back of that car or something?
I remember that.
Yeah, I know. And it's great to be talking with you 21 years now. I mean, and you and I actually go back before that, back when I was doing some PR and the announcing for the Dixie Outlaw Sprint Tour. We actually got together over there at Bull's Gap in Volunteer Speedway and did a couple of shows. Hard to believe now, 21 years. What were some of the hurdles in the early days of trying to get a national 360 touring series together, and what has allowed you guys to have the exponential growth you have had and the success that has come with that over the years?
Well, it's funny because when we started in 92, there wasn't a spec-headed 360 in the United States, and when Rodex, when we came up with that cylinder head, it was funny because when I went to PRI at, I don't know if it was in Indy or Columbus or where it was at, but I was walking around, and it was kind of like I had the plague. Nobody wanted to talk to me. I thought, and I really thought when I started that, I thought, well, the sprint car people will love me because the cylinder heads was getting out of control in the 410 and the 360 class. And the 360s was popping up around the country, but everybody had a different set of rules. And so we were just going to try to unify the rules there on the 360s and do the spec head and sleeve the injector stacks down to try to save get some reliability in the engines, and it was funny. I really thought that I'd be everybody's hero, and it was just the opposite. And then the next year I went up, it was funny because I had a couple people that would kind of look around and say, hey, why don't we go have dinner tonight? You know, they didn't want to talk to me there at the show, didn't want to be seen with me, so... And it took about the fourth year, and then things really turned around, and everybody got on board, and it kind of took off from there.
How did you know that the spec head, that the cylinder, was going to be the key to getting everybody on board and the key to controlling the cost with the engines?
Well, especially in the 410 class at that time, Everybody was coming out with a new design on the cylinder head, and I could go to Westmar or Gertie and buy the latest and greatest, and by the time they got the engine built, well, they had a better mousetrap out. And I mean, they were spending, back then they were spending $12,000 for a set of good heads. And that's what brought up the idea of the spec head, and Rodec's done a lot of work on it. And what's been nice about our program is the rules haven't changed since 92. Everything's been exactly the same on the engine, so that's saved our racers a lot of money.
Now, you've been able to get into different regions of the country, but here in central Pennsylvania, it just never took off. There was that 10-year deal signed with the Susquehanna Speedway, but that only lasted a few races. Why is it that you think that the ASCS brand of racing hasn't taken off in the central Pennsylvania area, but yet, even though they sort of are off on a little bit of their own now, the Patriot Sprint Tour has become very successful in competition with our good friends at ESS and the United Racing Company?
Well, ESS and URC, they really didn't want him at Honda around there. And we tried to do it there, and it's just at that time when we was up there working there with Susquehanna, it was just an uphill battle, and I was far enough down the road then that, to be real honest with you, life was too short to put up. The way I looked at it, it was their loss and not mine. And I had other things to do, and people that wanted to get on our program. And it's not only there. They're over in Ohio. You've got the Sprint Invaders, which was basically our deal to start with up there. And that's just another one that they do not want us in there. And so we just run our sod, and our guys doing a great job up there with their Patriot deal. And so because our whole regional concept was for us to have a region where when our national tour came up there that we didn't have to worry about having enough cars. And so we've had our national tour. I don't even know if we've had a race in Penn. Well, yeah, we did. We had a race there in Susquehanna, but our national deal's not there. It's not in New York. There's so many tracks there in New York that's either sanctioned or run by dirt. And we just devoted our efforts in the direction where people really kind of wanted us instead of wanting to fight against us. But the good thing is they're all running on our rules, so it makes things great.
Do you think there will come a time in day, as we're seeing evidence this year, that there are going to be a couple 360 races at a couple different tracks here in central Pennsylvania? Do you ever think a time in day may come, Emmett? We may see a national tour date stopping somewhere here in the East Coast or even in the southern part of the U.S.?
I think you'll see the day, and it's not that far away. There's some tracks right there on the very East Coast that wants us in there. And I told them, I said, when the day comes to where we can get us a schedule where we can kind of race our way up there and then race our way back where it's feasible for our racers, then we're going to do it. So I don't think it's that far away.
We're talking with Emmett Hahn, the founder of the American Sprint Car Series, and of course co-founder of the very highly successful Chili Bowl. And in 2007, Emmett was inducted into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And Emmett, I'm wondering, during your induction speech, did you happen to tell about how a boy from Oklahoma that could go up to I-81 Speedway in Wichita, take their money, take their girls, come back after winning the race, and still come back the next week alive?
Well, Pat Sullivan's the one that done the introduced me on the induction right there. And I got inducted at the Knoxville Hall of Fame for on the promoter end of it, not as a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat had seen me race back in my day, so he mentioned that I probably should be inducted in there as a driver as much as I was a promoter. But I've told that story a lot of times about going to 81 Speedway out there where they call the Arkansas River the Arkansas River. And so maybe one reason I got booed up there a little bit, because when we would be in Victory Lane and they'd do an interview with me, I'd just tell them Jayhawkers, if they could just call out the Arkansas River until I get back into Oklahoma, things would be a lot better.
not you getting booed in Kansas, Emmett. No, that wouldn't happen.
No, not at all.
Hey, at least you and I both know that real football is played north of the Red River. That's what we know.
That is a fact, yes.
Let's talk a little about the Chili Bowl for just a second. This year, for the first time in its history, television on CBS, on the big network. That's got to be a phenomenal thing. But when you look back to 1987 and you had a good handful of drivers, and now you have well over 250 every year, did you ever foresee this middle of the winter midget race becoming this popular and this big?
Well, really, not in my wildest dreams that I ever expect the Chili Bowl to be where it's at today. I don't know how long it's been, but probably the last 7 or 8 years. You know, when you're sold out in advance and you have 250, 270 cars in one class and have the quality of drivers that we have, it's just unbelievable. And I think what's from the spectator standpoint and the racers, even though that's a small dirt track, we keep that thing where they can race on the top and the bottom. It's just a racy little place, and so the racers have fun, and they put on a great show for the spectators.
And, of course, it took a number of years, but Kevin Swindell, the first driver to go back-to-back, and then now making it 3 wins in a row. Did you ever think a kid like Kevin Swindell would pull off that feat?
I didn't think anybody could pull off that feat, but him and his dad, both Sammy, they've run 1-2 the last 2 years, and they have something figured out there. We've had the who's who there. Steve Kinders came and run a lot of times, ran second several times. And Schuman, you know, back in his day, he's a great midget driver. Second's the best that Ronnie's ever done there, and it's just. Course there, you've got to have a good car, a good driver, and as they all say, you got to have a little bit of Chili Bowl luck. So then you take people like Dave Blaney. Dave's only come down here and run one time, come down here and won it, you know. So it's just that little place fits some drivers, and other drivers just can't get comfortable there.
And, of course, when you talk about Chili Bowl luck, you have to throw Damian Gardner in there, coming off the final quarter and next to last lap and nearly getting up and over leading the feature. So you're right, a Chili Bowl luck does play a lot in winning that prestigious midget event. Speaking of the shoe, Ron Schuman, I have to ask you, better golf game, you or Ron?
Well, he's younger than I am, I think. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But Ronnie and I, we played quite a bit, and the last couple of years, I'm getting where I can be competitive with him. But I probably get to play a little bit more golf now. Ronnie's got a real job, and so I'm probably getting to play more golf than he is. But I'll tell you one that you can't beat, and that's his son, Casey.
Okay.
Now, that Casey, oh, my gosh, that kid's a golfer.
And isn't it amazing the number of race car drivers who are also very well to adapt to the driving to the links?
Gary Wright, that runs with us, I tell people, I said he's a better golfer than he is a sprint car driver. He's an awful good sprint car driver.
Hey, speaking of guys like Gary Wright and Ron Schuman, of course, a number of years ago, you had a very popular tour for the 410 non-wings, the Sprint Bandit Tour. And a few weeks ago, one of the real good guys in this sport, the guy you know all too well, Charles Davis Jr., your champion down there in the Canyon region, he was asking me, he wanted to have me ask you personally, when are you going to bring back the Sprint Bandit Tour for the 360 deal?
Well, we could do that Sprint Bandit, that non-wing tour, but we'd probably have to do it with the 360s. Schuman had that little swing after the Nationals every year back in the Midwest, and when Ronnie got out of it, well, we kind of picked it up from there and ran it for 3 or 4 or 5 years, and then we just it ended up where it got where we had some scheduling conflicts with other sanctioning bodies, and so we didn't have the quality of drivers, and we were struggling for car count. And I'm just I've been on both ends of both sides of the fence. I've been on the promoter side, the racer side, the sanctioning body side, and if we can't come in with some good names and plenty of cars, I'm not going to ask a promoter to do it. But doing the 360s, we could make a swing back there with the 360 non-wing. It'd be a great show. Because I'll tell you one thing, Charles Davis, he can wheel them non-wing cars.
Yes, he can.
You need to ask Charles Davis about his running in a transfer spot at East Bay when we was down there, what he done. Next time you talk to him.
Oh, that sounds like it has a good story to it.
yes, it does. Yes.
Does the top bean getting back-to-back tickets?
It's a story.
Yeah, and then that occurred, folks. That occurred on the Sprint Bennett Tour. And so I ended up getting a $150 ticket because I made a wrong turn and was doing 30 in a 30. But I didn't see the school lights flashing. It was first day of school. Never been to Kansas before. And they didn't give me a break. And then I got another speeding ticket the next day. I mean, I felt like Rodney Dangerfield. I was getting no respect from those guys. One in Kansas,
no
one in Missouri.
No respect whatsoever. Illinois is like that for me. I just, in fact, there's a lot of times when we hit Illinois, I just tell my wife, I said, why don't you come over here and drive through this state? Because they have my number.
Now, I hadn't heard that about Illinois, but I did hear that about Kansas. I heard a lot of people will find a way to take a detour around Kansas just to avoid the state because the cops out there don't give you a break. And, you know, I'm not putting the boys down at all because I do the annual FDNY NYPD charity baseball game, but no, you tell them when you're with the FDNY, and they go, okay, here's your ticket.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's why I guess bringing the having the box of jelly donuts on the front seat just isn't a good idea.
No.
We're talking with our good friend Emmett Hahn from the American Sprint Car Series. And Emmett, as this season is just underway with the national tour, two races, two winners, Jason Johnson, Tony Bruce, and Brady Bacon leading the series. How do you see the tour shaking out this year, and what do you look for in terms of, is there any future growth, say within the next 5 years, for a new region, or are you locked into the regions that you do have right now across the U.S.?
Well, our regions, the ones we've got now, I think we have 10 regions, and they're doing, every one of them is doing well, and we race in most of them regions except up there with our SOD group. And I think I can see us picking up another region or two just because of the national series. We've just got some great racing. We got some great racers. The racing was good down here this past weekend here at Canyon and drawed the biggest crowd that they've ever had out there. And our top 10 guys, we got some veterans. I mean, when you take the Gary Wrights and the Danny Woods, you got them guys in there. And then this Brad Loyette, this first year he's been out on the tour, and he was leading the thing Saturday night and just done him a little 360 down there, but he came back and finished strong. But you take Brad, there's a bunch of young kids. Matt Covington's another one that's in there. We just got a lot of young talent. We got some guys that's been around for a little while, but you take the Johnny Herreras and the Gary Wrights and the Danny Woods, you got a mixture of the old vets in there, and then you know Jason Johnson, and he's strong wherever he runs. Brady Bacon, so we got a little mixture of everything, and I think what helps our series, our national series, is it's almost back to the philosophy that Ted Johnson had when he started the Outlaws. We come down here, and some of our local guys in their Southwest region, they won heat races, and I think that's what really made the World of Outlaws when Ted started that thing up, is they would come in and people would come out to see how the locals run against the national group. And that's basically what we got going on right now, and it's worked out real good. That's what I love about our national series. Them guys are, most of them now is racing for a living, because we last year we went from 34 races on our national series to 66 or 68, and so these guys got to keep a full-time crew around. But they're just nice guys. We have fun. They'll help each other, and that sure makes the work out here a lot easier.
It definitely does. Emmett, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. Watch out for the your travels in Illinois, and I'll watch out for my travels in Kansas next time around.
There you go, yeah.
I don't mind helping out the local economy, but not at $150 for not knowing it was the first day of school, guys. Come on.
Well, they probably just, there was something about your car or whatever that they just knew you as a Yankee.
Those Pennsylvania plates, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, they'll get you every time.
That's for sure. Hey, Emmett, it's a pleasure to speak with you. We had great times doing the broadcast back in the day on the Sprint Bennett Tour, and hopefully the 360 version of the Sprint Bennett Tour can come back someday, and we can sit down and have some more fireside chats with Charles Davis Jr. and a few of the other guys that have some tales to tell. So it should be fun, hopefully, if that event does come back for you guys in the near future.
I can see that happening.
Wonderful. Emmett, thanks so much. Have a great day, and keep hitting them straight.
All right, Sean, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you, bud.
And don't let Schumann take a point away from you when you're not watching, okay?
No, I'm not, and I'm not giving him any strokes.
I didn't think so. Emmett Hahn joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We're pleased now to be joined by longtime sprint car owner, former driver Dan Roberts. Dan is part of the group known as the Bloomington Speedway Partners, and they are now the new promoters of the Bloomington Speedway. And you've heard us talk about it before, folks. It is one of the neatest little tracks around, and it's great bull ring action. And I can't wait to get back out there in May during our coverage on our sister site, openwheeltoday.com, for the Indy 500. Dan, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and congratulations on this deal in helping to become the new promoters of the Bloomington Speedway.
Thank you, Sean. We're really excited to be involved with it.
Well, Mike and Judy Miles had been promoting it for 25 years. They did a tremendous job. Of course, as many folks know, it's the Mitchell Priest family that actually owns the property there that the track is located on. How did this come about? As you folks got the group together to become the new promoters of the Speedway?
Well, we had like I mentioned to you earlier, we have a sprint car team that this is our second year with a gentleman by the name of Bruce Lear, also a partner in the Speedway venture. And basically, our crew chief, Darrell Tate, is a neighbor of the Miles, and Mike had made mention to him that the track may be available at the end of his lease. And I brought it up to Bruce and Dale, and they seemed real interested in, so the talks began, and it took us a while to get all the bugs worked out of the leases and agreements, but it all got worked out, and we finalized all that last Thursday, I believe it was. And like I said, we're real excited to get a new season started.
And, Dan, how many years is the lease for?
10 years.
So it is a 10-year lease. Okay. So as a former driver and as a sprint car team owner, how do you see those benefits along with the rest of the gentlemen and ladies that you have involved in the Bloomington Speedway Partners? What is it that you guys have that's going to be able to take what the Miles have been doing and continue its success for another 10 years?
Well, basically, we're not really looking to change a lot at the Bloomington Speedway because it has such a great history and loyal fans and loyal employees under the Miles's management that we're basically going to just try to improve upon what is there. Our main focus is in taking care of our fans with some, hopefully we can get some new seating in before the season starts and use that as an ongoing project. We've got several other things in mind that's more family-oriented for the kids. We're going to try to make this a real kid-friendly place, so they've got something to do if they get bored. And that's really about it. My long-term goal is I'd like to see that track widened up a little, but I don't know that that can happen this year, and I seriously doubt if it can. The time's just not going to be there for that.
Speaking of the kids, I did notice from my trip out there last year, it is a bit of a hike to get from the front stretch over to the back stretch pit area. And as you mentioned, you want to do things that gear it towards the kid, the kids. Have you given consideration to working with the guys? I know it's a Friday night. It's tough for a lot of the teams sometimes to get off of work early. But are you giving any kind of consideration to doing something along the lines of having a driver or two each week bring their car in a little earlier and try to get them exposure on the grandstand side and let them give the kids autographs, put them in the car, take pictures? Is anything like that in the works for being able to reach out to the kids more so today?
Well, we've never really discussed that in point, but as a team owner, we've always, after the races and all of the folks come to the pits, we've always made our car available and always welcomed the kids to get in and get their picture taken and talk to the crew. So that's definitely a possibility. Like I said, we just finalized this thing on Thursday, and we really haven't had a whole lot of time to sit down and prioritize.
Price-wise, Dan, in terms of adult admission for the grandstand side and pits, is that going to be staying the same for this year, or will there be a change in that?
No. One of my main goals is one thing I don't want to do is make it any tougher on anybody to get to the races. You definitely can't do it to the competitors. They're strapped the way it is. And with gas prices, we're looking at keeping everything the same and go from there. We're really not looking at any increases in anything.
We're talking with Dan Roberts, one of the members of the Bloomington Speedway Partners, who are now the new promoters of the Bloomington Speedway, which races every Friday night starting April the 13th. That's their lid lifter. They've been at it since 1923, and of course, Brady Short is the defending track champion. Dan, what would be the goal at the end of this first year? What would you guys deem as success when the final checkered flag is thrown later in the season?
I think if we can just get through the year and keep the fan base that we've got and those folks, the fans and the competitors, think they're getting their money's worth on the hill and the competitors believe that they'll all be treated or have been treated equally throughout the year. We want this thing to run really smoothly, and we have a commitment from the Miles to help us do that. Understand that this is our first year at it, and we're going to be looking to the Miles for a lot of help. And we just want to continue on with their tradition.
Well, they've had a lot of great success over the last 25 years, and we want to wish you folks some great success as well over the next 10 years, and we're looking forward to getting back out there and taking in a race during the month of May. Dan Roberts, thanks so much for your time, for joining us here on the Sprint Car Show, and we hope you guys have a great first season as the new promoters of the Bloomington Speedway.
Thank you, Sean, and we look forward to seeing you in May.
Thanks. It's Dan Roberts. He's part of the Bloomington Speedway Partners, the new promoters of the Bloomington Speedway. Again, their lid lifter, April the 13th, Friday night, April the 13th,
And be sure to stop on down to Bloomington and check out some great short track racing action there in the Hoosier State. We'll take a break and be back with more of the Sprint Car Show right after this.
At Rod End Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farming equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro sprint, midget, modified, late model, sprint car, or a tractor, Rod End Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior service with superior products that will keep you in front of your field. To learn more, log on to rodendsupply.com or call Bob Douglas and his staff at 1-800-284-2902. That's 1-800-284-2902. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We're going to head out to the West Coast, take care of a little non-wing sprint car action, and we'll talk with the season-opening winner for the USAC CRA Sprint Cars out of the Paris Auto Speedway, Nick Foss, out of Huntington Beach, California. Nick, a pleasure to speak with you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sean. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Can you send some of that nice sunny weather out there in Southern California our way, please? We need some sunshine. We need 70-degree weather. I'm ready to go racing again.
Yeah, I wish I could.
Well, not a bad way for you and the Mark and Alexander team to kick off the 2012 USAC CRA season. You break a time trial record. You go on to pick up the A main feature event. Coming off of a runner-up position, a runner-up finish to Mike Spencer in the points in your first year with Mark, how big for the team was that win on opening night?
It was really big. You know, we ended last year at Paris really strong, and it was big to come out of the gate, so to speak, and kind of prove everyone that last year, then the last year wasn't a fluke.
When you come out of the gate like this, particularly in the time trials, and we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a second, but coming out in time trials, and even before that, Nick, as a driver, can you get a sense just how good of a hot rod you really have? And then also in the same content, do you say to yourself, you know what, I don't want to show my full hand right now, but boy, I do have a hot rod tonight.
Yeah, you know, I can usually tell in hot laps that the car's pretty good, and Steve Alexander, Mark's brother, the crew chief, always gives me a great car, and we have great backing behind Scott Sales Company and CSI. Got a great pair of shocks on the thing, and also got to thank my sponsors, VP Racing, Fuel, and La Via Catering for everything that they do. And like you said, we've been pretty good, and broke the 9-year-old track record, which is pretty cool, and followed up with a heat race win and a main event win also.
Now, let's talk about that time trial record, because that did, as you said, it stood for 9 years. And, folks, we'll tell you what we're going to do here. Nick's been gracious enough to donate an autographed T-shirt. We want you to go on to Facebook, onto the Sprint Car Show. Like us on the Sprint Car Show. And we want to ask you a trivia question. Whose record did Nick break? We don't need the time or the date, but what driver held the record for 9 years that Nick broke on opening night? The first correct answer, we're going to get you a Nick Foss autographed T-shirt. So, Nick, we greatly appreciate that stepping up here and helping us out and doing some work with us on the social media aspect of things.
Yeah, of course. And I just want to thank all the fans for tuning in. I know it's a big wing nation up there in Pennsylvania, and hopefully you guys can like us a little bit as much as you guys love wing racing.
Well, we do get a little bit of that every now and then with the USAC Eastern Storm Tour that comes through. But, we try to cover both sides of the sidewalk, so to speak, between the winged and the non-wing sprint cars. But either way, hey, it's sprint car racing. It's pretty darn awesome. But you started your career as a BMXer. How do you go from being a BMX kid to getting into one of the top rides on the West Coast for non-wing sprint car racing?
It's funny you say that. I started out racing BMX when I was 5, and I raced BMX for a couple years, and then when I was 7, my dad gave me a choice. Either I could race dirt bikes or get a quarter midget. And I remember I went up to Vallejo. It was like a car one of those good guys car shows and met some people from the QMA, and I saw a quarter midget, and I was like, I want to do that, Dad. And for my seventh birthday, I got a quarter midget, and that kind of trickled into running a Ford Focus midget. And then in 2008, I moved up and ran a 410 sprint car the first year, and full midget also that year.
I had the pleasure of working with the folks at USAC with Tracy Trotter, who owns Calico Coatings, a number of years ago with the Carolina Virginia Ford Focus series. I was curious to find out from your standpoint, how vital was it to get into that Focus car before you actually strapped into a full-size midget? Did you feel it was beneficial to helping you understand just how powerful, but yet how much of a monster those midgets can be?
Yeah, you know, it was a great stepping stone. I ran those for 2 years, like I said. But after the first year, I wanted to get out and kind of move on to a sprint car, you know, but my dad said that I should take it one more year and just so I can learn more patience, so I don't tear up any equipment, and also the mechanical side of this stuff. You know, I was always helping my dad work on it and stuff. So I think that's what really helped me and with my patience as a driver.
Now, folks, I will tell you, I had a chance to jump on Nick's website before we were chatting here. And when I had a chance to finally see what it looks like, I thought to myself, my goodness, it's like looking at Lance DeWeese, which is a compliment. But, you know, Nick's a soccer player from high school, and you can't be more than 110 pounds soaking wet. And, you know, and I'm sitting there going, he looks like, that reminds me of the profile of Lance DeWeese. You're tall, you're skinny, and you would never think you're a sprint car driver. So how do you manhandle? I mean, how do you be a soccer player and still be able to manhandle those 410 sprint cars?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I wish I still did play soccer. It's great for cardio, you know, you never get tired, but now I just got to go on runs. But like you said, it's funny. Not a lot of people in Southern California race sprint cars, let alone, like you said, I kind of look sleek and slender, and I surf a lot, so I don't really fit the bill of a sprint car driver, but try to do my best.
Nick, who else in the Southern California sprint car world goes surfing? Do you know?
Maybe just my buddy Matt Mitchell. Me and Matt Mitchell try to go surfing as much as we can, but last time I surfed with him was probably 4 or 5 months ago, so pretty slim.
You know, I would always have thought Damian Gardner would probably be, he has a little bit of that surfer look. You know, Damian, of course, originally from Concord, California, he has a little bit of that surfer look.
Yeah, you know, he's up there, like you said, up in Concord, a little colder up there, more sharks, but he looks like a surfer.
Good. That's what we'll send Ricky Gaunt then for some surfing lessons.
Yep, definitely.
I called him the other day, still trying to get him on the show. And I get this, we're sorry, but Ricky Gunn's cell phone is full. Please try your call again later. I thought, wait a second. This is not happening. He has a mailbox that's full. That's amazing.
Yeah, people must be prank calling him a lot, leaving him messages.
Yeah, that would sound about like what most people do with Ricky Gaunt. But we're talking with Nick Foss out of Huntington Beach, California, and Nick picking up the win and setting a new track record in time trials just a couple weeks ago in the USAC CRA opener. So what is it that you guys have to do? You had some wins late last year, but what do you have to do to unseed Mike Spencer for that number one spot at the end of this season?
I think the main thing is just being consistent like he has been for the last 4 years. You know, him and his team don't make many mistakes, and when they do, you kind of need to capitalize on them, you know. But I think mostly just being consistent. And
so if consistency is the key, and we know what Mark and Steve Alexander can do from your standpoint, how do you go out there? And even though you're not racing every single week at Paris, how do you go out there and make sure that you guys are consistent enough that you're going to be there at the end of the season to challenge Mike for the title?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with shop work. You know, Mark and got some great crew guys also, AJ, Steve Sun, who bust their butts at the shop and make sure everything's right. And, you know, they prepare great cars for me, and it's just up to me to get the job done.
Well, Nick, we appreciate you taking time out. You're actually in between classes, and folks, this guy has a long day.
He had classes early this morning, now classes in this evening, and he's a student at Cal State Fullerton. Economics degree, is it, that you're working on now?
Yeah, it's finance.
Finance, okay, pretty close. Now, were you going to do anything with a mechanical engineering degree at some point, or did you switch?
Yeah, I switched. I started that when I first got into community colleges, but I ended up switching after my first semester.
Like me, you figured enough with the calculus and the differential calculus and trying to figure out what X is equal to.
Yeah, I'm more of a street smart kind of guy. The book smart's kind of out there for that engineering stuff.
So what would you like to do with your degree from Cal State Fullerton?
I want to get into investment banking or something like that.
Well, that sounds pretty neat. Well, listen, Nick, we want to thank you very much for taking time out in between classes to join us here. And again, folks, Nick, kind enough to donate an autographed T-shirt. Make sure you like us, the Sprint Car Show. Make sure you find Nick's page, too, on Facebook, like his page. But on our Sprint Car Show page, the first correct answer, whose record did Nick break that stood for 9 years in time trials? And the first correct answer, we will get you that autographed T-shirt. Nick, all the best of luck to you and the Alexander team for the rest of the season, and hopefully sometime down the road we'll catch up with you again here on the Sprint Car Show.
All right, thanks, Sean, and thank you for having me.
Sure. Nick Foss from Huntington Beach, California, driver of the Mark Alexander USAC CRA Sprint Car and the winner of the opening night races at the Paris Auto Speedway. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
At Rod End Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farming equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro-sprint, midget, modified, late model, sprint car, or a tractor, Rod End Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior service with superior products that will keep you in front of your field. To learn more, log on to rodendsupply.com or call Bob Douglas and his staff at 1-800-284-2902. That's 1-800-284-2902. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show, everybody. Special thanks to our guests this week, Emmett Hahn, Dan Roberts, and Nick Foss. Be sure to like Nick's page on Facebook and also like our page on Facebook, the Sprint Car Show. Leave us your answer to the trivia question. Whose record did Nick Foss break that stood for 9 years in time trials in the opening night of the USAC CRA season at Paris Auto Speedway? First correct answer will get an autographed T-shirt from Nick. The World of Outlaws are in action this weekend on Thursday night at Las Vegas and then on Saturday at the Paris Auto Speedway. Donnie Schatz is the early points leader by 5 markers over Sammy Swindell. This weekend, a bunch of activity happening here in central Pennsylvania. The 358 Sprint Cars will make their first appearance of the season at the Lincoln Speedway on Saturday afternoon, with the green flag dropping at 2 o'clock. They'll be joined with the 410 Sprint Cars, and as has been the case last year, this year starting off the same way for Lincoln. 2 races, 2 different winners. Last weekend, it was Brent Marks. He is now the points leader at Lincoln by 15 markers over Kevin Naus. And on Saturday afternoon at the Port Royal Speedway, they'll have their Bug Day. That takes place from 1 till 4, and their season opener is March the 17th. And coming up on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, the 410 Sprint Cars make their first of 4 appearances of the season at the Seal-One Screw Speedway, and they'll be joined by the Pro Stocks. A lot of action, a lot of coverage coming your way from this weekend right here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks again for understanding us not having a show last week. As you can tell, the voice is still not up to 100%, but we're getting there, and as P.T. Barnum says, the show must go on. The Sprint Car Show has been brought to you by Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. By Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. And by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.